Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett, and today we are talking waiver wire pickups. And to help me do that, welcome you, Stevie Fizz.
How you doing, boys? G'day, listeners. This is good. It's our first time we've put out a waiver show on a Monday, Jono.
Yes, excited about it, and we'll be bringing this to you every Monday throughout the home and away season.
Yeah, and it makes sense. You know, we tried to get the pod out last year on the Monday night, but obviously some people's waivers, they might not have caught the show and their waivers might not have gone through, and we know it's such an important part of winning your league.
It certainly is. And also to help us do this is the Statesman. Welcome to you, mate. What did you think of the AFLW Grand Final?
Superb, and congratulations to Adelaide winning the inaugural AFLW Premiership. It's been a fantastic weekend, but I will say I went into the weekend with a lot of excitement and leaving pretty miserable. I think nearly every player I draft along the way have had a five-season low of scores this week, and getting pummeled in our keeper league to the wonderful Steve, but we'll sort that out. You don't win your league at round one.
No, you don't. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Bit of injury news coming out over the weekend. Probably the biggest injury news is Nick Riewoldt seemed to go down with a knee injury there on Saturday afternoon. The fears were it was an ACL, but good news, I guess, today with scans coming out confirming that there's no ACL. There seems to be bone bruising, so they're saying 2 to 6 weeks for Nick Riewoldt there. So good news there, and not a season-ending career like we saw with Chris Judd a couple of years back. A bit of other injury news was also Dale Morris. I don't know if anyone saw this, but he fractured his leg on Friday night, so set to miss a couple of months there. Not good for young Dale Morris. And also in today's yesterday's game, sorry, was Jared Waite coming off with a shoulder injury, even though he did kick one goal seven.
Wow. Did you say young Dale Morris?
Quite possibly. He looks young for a 34-year-old. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, or at Statesman33, or check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. Check us out on Facebook, search The Draft Doctors there, or we'll just shoot us an email, thedraftdoctors@gmail.com. But today we are talking waiver wire pickups, where we're just going to go through the top seven waivers for the pickup and just have a quick chat about them. Using the ultimate footy guide as to the number of ownerships, and to kick us off is the Statesman.
Yes, and I'll start off with an absolute ripper, Alex Neil Bullen from Melbourne. Sort of stayed undercover during our pre-season, only drafted by 3% of leagues and owned now by 15, and I think a fair bit of that addition has actually been over the weekend after he scored 110. He's a forward mid, was outstanding. He's a third-year breakout player. And as an 18-year-old, he averaged 20 disposals in the SANFL, which is a quality competition. So for an underage kid to get that many possessions, including his last match, which was over 30 possessions. So, look, fantastic pickup. He played quite well. Probably you could argue that the only slight deficiency in his game is a few turnovers, which is why his Supercoach score was a little bit lower than his AFL fantasy score. But this boy can rack him up, and with the injury to Smith, I think his job security is pretty solid there. And 110, I think he can average between the 75 to 85. So hopefully we'll see a nice 70 to 80 score. But he has got Carlton, and I think a few of the scores with Carlton actually explode a little bit, so maybe he can ton up again for 2 weeks on the trot. That's my number one, gentlemen.
Yeah, I didn't have him on the list, but I do have a fair few Melbourne players on my list this week. Who's your number two there?
Number two is Will Hoskin-Elliott for Collingwood, drafted by 51%, owned by 56%, scored 95, playing on the wing half forward. His job security is rock solid, showing a touch of class. This is his first ever full preseason and showing the rewards, gentlemen.
Yeah, I had him in at 6 on my list. He making me eat some crow, boys. Making me eat some crow. Haven't been a big Hoskin Elliott fan, but he looked good, and it was a pretty fantasy friendly role by the looks of things. I would imagine that's the sort of game they would have wanted from James Aish to be turning in week out. So he looked fantastic.
Yeah, no,
yeah, touch of class forward
for this week as well.
Number three is Jason Constania or Constania.
George is fine.
And I picked George just so I could say Constania. Richmond only drafted by 4%, owned by 17% now after a very good first up game. Upgraded from the rookie list and playing in attacking role. This boy can actually rack him up, and he's got great pace, so he's going to keep his spot in that team, because he actually breaks the lines, and it's exactly what Richmond need, and that's why they perform so well. So George the boy at number three.
Nah, great pickup. Kicks a few goals too when he sneaks forward as well, so great for fantasy.
Yeah, listed as a defender, so it's always good to get an extra defender because not many of them are popping.
They are not at this point.
At number four, I have Dan Hennebery, Sydney, drafted by 100%, but disowned by 99% this week. But do jump on board. I've sent him some Tassie Pinot this week, so he should be all sorted and back on the track next week. What a disgraceful effort as my captain in the Keeper League that was. Thought I got the biggest bargain in the world for my first pick at number 12, got Dan Hand and pumps out a 49 for me. Yeah. Anyway, salt it down, a little bit of sugar on top. Now the man, because I talked about him pre-season, Wayne Malira from Adelaide, drafted by only 3%, owned by 11%, exciting running machine, going through the midfield and dangerous up forward, scored a wonderful 89. His job security is rock solid. This boy has talent, and if you saw Adelaide yesterday, I'm sure you all agree it's all about the pace for them. So they're going to keep those line breakers in the squad. Wayne Malira is an absolute special. He's the outsider I picked. I think it was 34-1 to win the Rising Star. He could be a bit of a chance, although Pau Pepper might be discussed as well in the AFL headquarters when they're talking about the Rising Star nomination for this week.
Well, you think Malira will get a nomination at some point, though, won't you?
He will.
Keep producing output like that, for sure.
My next one, I will say, I just got excited by this as a football purist. So he's probably in there more for the Keeper League, which is Eric Hipwood for Brisbane. Very tall player, only drafted by 2%, owned by 6%. Exciting long-term option up forward. He can run. He has got magnificent pace for someone of his height. And the boy can mark. Took an absolute specials on the weekend. He is Buddy 2.0. Great pickup for a Keeper League. I think he scored in the mid-60s. I think he's going to be top value.
I don't have that. But I guess that's a Keeper thing and a redraft thing.
Yeah, I didn't have him either.
Okay, I'll move on to Rory Lobb. Scored 71, drafted in 41%, owned by 53%. Playing up the ground as a marking option and will have minutes in the centre as well and will score big against the lower ranked teams. Rory Lobb.
Yeah, I've absolutely is he one got of the... Lobb in at 7 on my ranks. He's only owned in 53% of leagues, so yeah, you should have him. He should be owned in your league.
And with Downey on the LTI, and if Mummy goes down, chance to get that DPP later in the year as well.
Massive chance.
And my last player, and he's only last because of the percentage owned being 59%, is Jack Redden, because Jack is back and picked up in the Keeper League by Steve. It was a magnificent pick, very late in the draft, scored 111. Looks like he is back for good. And obviously getting a game ahead of Dom Sheed is actually quite interesting with the way they rate Dom Sheed. But Jack's got that role.
Yeah, I had Jack Redden at the top of my list. For me, he's the guy who's most likely going to make an impact for you in a redraft this year. And, yeah, maybe he just had just had a stinker last year, new club. Maybe it just didn't click and it's taken him some time, but because we know he's a quality player.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, I had Jack Redd on my list too. Second, first year Blues, as we see when players switch clubs. I think Jack Redden is going to be helped much better by Sam Mitchell as well, and just like Andrew Gaff, as we saw in that game on Sunday as well. Is that all you got there, Statesman? Any
it
other
certainly goal? Is.
All right. Steve, what do you got on your list, mate?
Yeah, I just wanted to remind people, if you're playing in a deeper league, obviously these guys might not be there. If you're playing in a shallower league, there might be better options, but we use the 65%. Mark, I had Jack Redden as my number one. Number two, I actually had Aaron Young from Port Adelaide in at at 64%. I think he's a really fantastic option. Port looked pretty handy yesterday. We know he's capable of scoring pretty well when he gets his chance. So him and Wingard are certainly providing a pretty lethal, I guess you'd call medium-sized forward combination down there. So I certainly like Aaron Young. He's got some class and some pressure ability. Number three, I had Sean McKernan. Listed as a forward, he's certainly going to be the ruck in the short-term future for Essendon, but he's listed as a forward, and he does have some pretty sweet matchups coming up in terms of ruckman that you can actually get some hit-outs on. He's only owned in 34% of leagues, so if you need a forward, I think he's a pretty handy option. Number four, I had Charlie Cameron, obviously starred against GWS. He's only owned in 38% of teams. He's been threatening to break out for a while. We know he's got all the tricks in the world, and he can push through the midfield, go forward, kick a goal. Isn't it an interesting thing with Adelaide? It looked like they had a reasonably bare midfield at the start of the year, but now they've got so many weapons they can rotate through the forward line, I guess a la the Doggies, but maybe these guys just aren't the household names in Victoria, Jono. The bit of bias.
A lot of bias, because you still haven't spoken about my boy yet, so hopefully I can speak about someone, because you're taking all my guys.
Well, I've only got one more, and I seriously doubt anyone's got him. This one might be a little bit more of a super coach pick, but he certainly played pretty well on Friday night, and that's Lachie Plowman, only owned in 9% of teams as a defender. Now, if they're going to persist with this Jacob Wiedering thing, which, how good is Jacob Wiedering, mind you? There's certainly going to be enough ball flying into the Carlton backline, and this guy's shown the ability to take some intercept marks. I think it's the sort of guy you'd stash on the bench, and you know he can certainly average probably around the 80 in Dream Team and maybe sneak you an 84, 85 in Supercoach.
Yeah, no, I didn't have Lachie Plowman, but seeing as you guys have spoken most of my guys, my guy was Caleb Marchbank, also in that defensive line for Carlton, only in 53% owns of team, took a lot of marks on the weekend, and rebounding defender. We know the ball's going to come a lot inside that defence for Carlton, so if Wiedering's forward, then he's going to be the number one guy there. My boy, Rory Atkins, absolutely smashed it on Sunday. Just made the cutoff at 64% owned, so.
He's been one you've been riding, so why not?
I've been riding it and proved it on the weekend there, kicking the ball inside 50, kicked a few goals as well. Really like it. So if he's there in your leagues, do pick him up. He's probably my number one waiver for this week outside the guys we've spoken. Another one, Jaden Hunt for Melbourne. Played a really good game on the weekend. He's owned by 43%, drafted by 28%, playing that running defender, scored the 87 Dream Team, 78 Supercoach. So if he's that 75 to 80 averaging defender for you, not going to be a bad pickup. And probably the last guy I'm going to talk about, again, another Melbourne player in your midfield, it's Mitch Hannon. Now you're thinking of it. Owned by 6%, drafted by 0%. So 88 Dream Team, 96 Supercoach, could be a plug-and-play kind of guy. He's that paceman that Melbourne needed and looked really solid on Saturday afternoon.
And he's actually a mature-age rookie. Yes. So he's actually had senior football experience before, actually played for the Western Bulldogs Align Club and was actually part of their premiership team. So he sort of popped up out of nowhere this weekend. I didn't hear much talk about him, but his performance was actually quite good.
I really enjoyed it.
I'm pretty sure he'll be coming into about 900,000 salary cap teams
over the week.
So, any other guys you guys want to mention before we move on?
No.
I just thought I'd quickly mention that, although I've got one more, because we are recording before the Frio game, I've got one more captain to go, but my captain tips for last week went superbly well. My team didn't, but my captain tips for everyone else did extremely well.
As long as you're helping the people.
Exactly.
Which is funny, because you're not really a man of the people.
No, that's exactly right. That's why I couldn't believe it.
And if you do like the show, you can check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud. And if you really like the show, then please hit the subscribe button and do leave us a review. It takes you a few minutes, and we really appreciate it if you do.
Yeah, and we're not just saying that. Please do it. I know every podcast says it, but bloody well do it. We need it.
Yeah. No, we have had the listeners leaving a few reviews, and we read them out on the air, and we love it. But now we're just going to do a quick recap of our teams that we follow over the weekend and just give it a quick breakdown of who did what. And starting off is Statesman.
Yes, I'll cover the Gold Coast first because they were still playing JLT while the rest of the clubs were actually playing real footy. That's what it seriously looked like. They started very, very poorly. Now, I still have the question of Gold Coast of what's going to happen in their midfield because they were hugely rotated through there, and Aaron Hall ended up top scoring with 109, but he didn't actually get a lot of time in the midfield, so it's a little bit of concern what's going to happen with Aaron Hall. Tuke Miller, on the other hand, seemed to be one of the ones they wanted in the midfield the most and actually played the most minutes out of all those midfielders. And actually, I'll wait till I see the data, but I'm pretty sure he would have started in more centre bounce than any other Gold Coast player. So that's quite interesting. And Tuke scored 108. Gary Ablett was superb for 105. He will get a fair bit more of the footy as it goes, obviously depending if his body holds up. But the magnificent one was Jared Witts. Most people would have drafted him in the late 100s, and he was classy. 104 from 108 minutes, and that's going to be his role. I think his scores will go from 70 to a ceiling of about 110. So I think you're going to find probably about an 85 to 90 average from Jared Witts, which is quite magnificent for someone you're getting an absolute bargain so late. Barlow, suspect on 94, still concerned. Ainsworth as a rookie did a great job, 88 minutes for 86 points, so showed his scoring potential. KK was very slow to start. He was one of the JLT crew, but kicked off at the end with 78. The real concern, Dave Swallow, surprise, surprise, he was out injured. So he was a late withdrawal. The next team is Brisbane. Sorry, gentlemen, I should let you, if you got any comments about Gold Coast.
Tuke Miller seemed to play a little bit forward in that second half, so interesting there to see how they're using him, playing half mid, half forward there.
Yeah, as I sort of explained, they were rotating everyone through, but he was the one that was most constant in there, which was a bit of a surprise. And they rotate a lot of players through that midfield lot. Brisbane, obviously superb start to the game. Rockcliffe top scored with 127, Zorko 116, Beams 103, and Steph Martin 101. And he was behind Witts all game. So Witts was obviously drafted 120 to 150 positions after him and was behind him the whole game. The interesting part, because they're probably the people you expected to score well, was Rockcliffe's minutes were well down. So that's a little bit of alarm bell. He only played 93 minutes. So we're talking that's approximately about 15 minutes shy of the rest of those key players, which is very interesting whether that was just rotation issues that happened. But it seemed quite obvious that the majority of the time either Beams or Rockcliffe were off. So they were the two rotating through. There was a reliance on Beams early, and because Beams is coming back from a long-term injury, he was running out of the tank, so Rocky got a fair bit of run in that last quarter. So that's an interesting thing, and it's something for those that have got the eye on, just be careful of those matchups, because if he keeps on getting reduced game time, that will affect his scoring at some stage. But 127, a fair bit of that was in junk time. If his time at the end of the games reduces, then he doesn't get the junk time and he's going to average the low 100s. Next up is Sydney, touched up by Port. They were actually quite poor. I've got JPK at 118, Lance Franklin at 110. The rest weren't that exciting. I think a lot of people probably would have been excited by Zach Jones, who got to 72 at half time, but only ended up with 96 and actually only scored 2 points in the third term when he was taken back to defensive role. So that's going to be always a bit of a concern of how much time he has in the midfield. And of course, a couple of disappointments there in scoring. Callum Mills only 67 and Dan Han only 49. And one injury concern, Robinson has done his shoulder and there's likelihood that they've got a position up on the half forward line. There's a poster up on my wall, which could be Phil.
Do you think Sydney are playing... like, I know everyone just pencils in Sydney as a top four team. Do you think they've got so many younger players, like they don't have enough experience?
Yeah, it's a really, really good question. Sorry, Jono. Really good question. And it's that borderline. Last year, they were having 6 younger players. Now they're going to the 8 or 9 with a couple of retirements and the moving of Tommy Mitchell. Maybe it's couple of injuries, like the one we've got with Isaac Heaney at the moment, is going to expose their depth a bit.
Yeah, no, I'm going to say exactly what you're going to say there, so totally agree.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Sydney. We'll check that out next week. The next team is Essendon. They were celebrating. Dyson the Heppel, 156. Now, I think...
must be on the drugs.
I think that's not a score you should expect for him in a weekly basis. He did kick 3 goals. Yes, he'll rest forward, but I don't think... just take the old 20 to 30 points off that, and that's where his peak should be. But the reality, that shows he's got a magnificent ceiling. I'm so glad Zach Merritt got a good game early, because it just shows that all these players coming back is actually going to help him. It's not going to harm him. And, of course, he was one of the steadies in that midfield rotation as well. 129, superb. Goddard, 127. Watson, 122. Parrish, 114. All superb. Now, I will say, we don't know what the opposition are actually going to be like as a team. They haven't really formed. They haven't worked well together yet in Hawthorn. So I think... it's like getting scores against Carlton. I don't think we can rate this too highly yet. If you had them in your team, you got those big scores, you beauty, well done. Don't rely on this to happen on a weekly basis. Is that fair?
Yeah, I would say mm-hmm. so. We don't really, like, we're getting, you know, we get a lot of questions from our listeners on who should I choose out of these two like-for-like players. And usually we got a nice data bank to look at, but just in the early weeks, we don't know where you can score, you know, where a defender's going to score from, which midfields are weaker, which forward lines can be exposed by defenders and that sort of thing. So, yeah, it is fair to say we just don't have the data at the moment.
Absolutely. Last but not least is the West Coast Eagles. Good, solid performance. Great score by Gaff, 144. My sneaky captain, JJK, pumped out a 125, and I think that was 7 goals straight from memory.
Yeah, 107, super coach.
Wow, that's amazing. Elliot Yo, 120, so the Yo-Yo hopefully is going to become more solid this year. Jack Redden, 111. Sam Mitchell performed well, 111. I think his super coach score would be a little bit lower than that. It was a few turnovers in Sam Mitchell's score. And Chris Marston, 101. So that's a good score for Chris Marston. And I should mention Jamie Cripps as well as a forward. I did look at him to be one of the waiver wires, and that should be someone you should consider too at 95 points, but I think he'll be just above that threshold of 65. So that's my five teams, seeing Fremantle is yet to play.
Next up is Steve with his list of six teams through the weekend.
Yeah, my teams are out getting it done early, so we'll start with Carlton. And, man, I just want to say, how good is Jacob Wiedering? They play him all year as a key defender, throw him forward, and gets an, it pretty looks like a nasty knock early in the game, and still gives Alex Rance a decent old bath. Man, they could really use two of him. Dale Thomas, it was nice knowing you. Mark Murphy looked really good. Obviously, having a preseason for the first time was great. Interesting enough, and I did notice this on both sides, like the guys who didn't have a preseason or had interrupted preseasons in Hooley and Cripps were really down on what you would expect the usual output to be. So maybe that's something to keep an eye on just in terms of when we're looking to make trades later on in the year, who started slow and why they started slow. Just a bit of interest there. Man, they really need Reece Palmer. That's what this team needs. a solid injection. All right. Yeah, Mark Murphy was great as well. But and Cruiser, man, was amazing. Looked fantastic as well. And I don't think, like speaking to you guys, we've been pushing the whole draft the ruck late Barrow. I don't think this round could have gone much better for the hashtag brand in terms of drafting a ruck late. We had, you know, Nan Curvis go well.
Witz
went fantastically well. Cruiser went fantastically well. And some of
Hickey
the...
did not.
Hickey did not, but Hickey was pushed more into the, you know, I guess you'd call middle stages, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, he's been in that middle stages.
So certainly really just good week for the brand. On the other side of the ball, the Tigers, you know, Dusty was just absolutely amazing. He's certainly adding a zero to his contract. Sean Grigg playing, you know, in a win. Sean Grigg will generally score pretty well, although Prestia was fine. Your boy Nick Vlosten, Jono.
Get stuffed.
10 tackles to halftime and only 3 possessions. I think his score's a little bit misleading. So just when you're doing your waivers, just if he's floating around, I'd be a little bit concerned about how he's actually building his score, because I'm not sure he's the sort of guy who's going to lay 12 tackles every single week. And Josh Caddy. That's what Josh Caddy does. That's what Josh Caddy does. He, you know, I know Statesman's pretty high on him having a big year, but that's what he does. He'll have a stinker and then he'll throw out a one. He'll throw out 3 130s in a month and we'll have forgotten all about it.
What I like about Josh Caddy is when I add Dan Henn's score and Josh Caddy's score together, it gets me a ton.
Yeah. Yep. Is that one of them captained as well?
Yes.
So that was interesting. It was nice to see the Tigers move the ball fast, and guys like you're talking about, like Castagna and Rioli, certainly doing a good job for the Tigers there. On to Collingwood, man. Remember when Adam Treloar was going to be the leader of the Collingwood midfield?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can forget that. Pendles is still the man, and he basically put that team on his shoulder and got them close.
And it goes exactly to the point you just made before. Injuries last year, lack of pre-season, his scoring dropped to 106 in AFL fantasy. He's back. He's had a good pre-season, and whammo, he's back at the number one mantle.
Yeah, the midfield for Collingwood really is amazing, and you can see why Champion Data have got him rated so highly. But, man, their forward line is really inefficient. Like, they really just, aside from Fasolo, there's just no polish. Like, just missed targets, time and time again. And you look at...
Yeah, mate. And they should try and draft a key forward, say, someone like Travis Clyke.
Oh.
Well, I'm not even meaning like that. I think they should be after a smaller forward, someone with some class. Because look at the forwards they have up there. It's Darcy Moore. It's Mason Cox for some unknown reason.
Jesse White
wasn't too bad.
No, he wasn't too bad, but he's not going to do that each week, though.
But if their game plan's built on pressure in the forward half and keeping it in there, these guys aren't actually providing much. So when it gets out, it's done. So they really need to make the most of their opportunities. Jared Blair's a good soldier, but you know, I'd like to see Tim Bromhead in that team, to be honest. I think he's a little bit better than that. But yeah, Howe was fantastic as well, and I was dirty when you drafted him, Jono, because I'm a big fan of his this year. And Fasola was good as well. On to Port, fantastic win for them. We'll probably, much like you said with Hawthorn, we'll probably wait and see how this plays out in terms of the other teams, but I think any time you go into the SCG and get a win, it's pretty handy, especially when you do it without Robbie Gray, who apparently was just having a pint of Coke for most of the game on his way to about 35 points. One interesting guy I would like to talk about is Brad Ebert, and we were talking about him a lot as a great sleeper, and he moved back inside, and man, the score was great. So
yeah,
he'd had about four solid years without missing a game before last season, so it could be a nice bounce back for Brad Ebert. Sorry to cut you off, Jono.
No, I was going to say exactly what you said.
Yeah, and that nice little tandem of Wingard and Young up forward, certainly pretty lethal in front of the big sticks. North Melbourne, they're battling, aren't they? They're just going to battle, and they're not going to lack for effort. We know that about them, but it just looks like it's going to be a rotation of kids throughout the year. Like, they had a number of first gamers in there. They've got more to get games into as well, so it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. The fantasy scores, I'm not sure what they're going to provide, to be honest. I'm really worried about North because, I mean, Sean Higgins played well, and he scored well, and Zeeble scored well. There's a few guys just score around that ton, but it just looks like they're not going to have any standout players to sort of carry them over the line, a la your Scott Pendlebury. So unless you're drafting a North player late, I'm sort of worried about using them in matchups even. And onto the real disappointments of the week, GWS, man. Talk about your one-way running. This team had no defensive effort whatsoever. Man, they could use a guy like Steve Coniglio in there to run the other way. But, man, Adelaide cut through them like Mrs. Fizz cuts through my excuses when I'm out at golf too long. They had some good efforts. Jeremy Cameron kicked the four goals. Lunchmeat had a nice quarter. And Tom Scully,
that's about it.
And Tom Scully really is a good player. Also, Zach Williams did it pretty nicely, and Heath Shaw, but I guess the ball was down there a lot, so they certainly found enough of the ball. Just one thing about GWS, is there a leadership issue at GWS? Like, when things are going well, it's all hunky-dory, but when they're sort of pressed, maybe it's not so good. I don't know.
At the offset of being such a young team, there's no real standout leader there?
Well, I don't know. Maybe you just look at the other guy when things aren't going well. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. But
Heath Shaw was doing a fair bit of finger-pointing early in that game, so things weren't going well.
I just wonder whether, because they're an organisation that has started from scratch, so they were expected to lose, so they weren't upset about losing. It was part of the development. Maybe they need to go through a process of learning to lose big. And what I mean by that is learning to lose when you think you should win, and maybe today was part of that education. So they can actually hurt a bit, which makes them work a little bit harder. Maybe it's just that process. And also it could be part of believing all the hype.
Nah, it's just letting their odds drift in the premiership race so they can get on themselves a bit later on at a good value.
Maybe.
Well, that's all I had to say on my teams anyway.
All right, I've only got the five teams because when we're recording this, Geelong haven't started yet. Starting off with the Doggies on Friday night, Jason Johannesson seems to have kept on going from where he won his Norm Smith medal. He was great running off that halfback, even going forward and kicking a goal or two, which was great.
And that means getting a lot of the footy and turning it over?
Hey. Quite possibly as well. Hey, there it is. I don't think we'll be seeing too much of that. The Bont tried to match it with Dusty Martin like he did on Thursday night, but not quite as good. Still played really well for the 89 Dream Team and 120 Supercoach.
That was the most fake news score of all time.
That's okay, because he's in my Supercoach team and I'm playing you this week, Steve.
Oh, I understand that, but come on, man. 20 touches.
Nah. The one I'm worried about is Tom Liberatore. I know he had the 14 tackles, but Only the 16 disposals for 115 Dream Team, 102 Supercoach. So, like you said, Steve, the old fake news coming out there. I was worried on Liberatore at the start of the year of just how he's going to fit in. So I don't think he's going to be doing 14 tackles each week. Jack McRae did what Jack McRae did, just picking up the ball on the wing there and getting some nice scores. Lucky Hunter drifted forward, kicking three goals there was quite good as well. Moving on to the Saints and the D's game, Nick Riewoldt was just fantastic in that game, kicking four goals before going down with that knee injury, as we said earlier, missing 2 to 6 weeks. Jack Steele continuing that JLT form there, racking up about 23 disposals and four tackles, scoring quite nicely for those who were lucky enough to get him. I also had Steve, your guy that you were interested in Gresham, seemed to go forward, kick a couple of nice goals. Just wonder if he's going to be building minutes to play a bit more mid as well.
I find it hard to believe. He's a dangerous forward. If they're going to move someone through the midfield, it's more likely to be Billings, I would have thought.
Yeah. He was quiet, but still scored quite nicely as well. And Jack Nunes did go down with an injury as well, so still waiting to hear on that. For the D's, Clayton Oliver, if you've got him in keeper leagues, just please do hold on to him. Dropped a few kilos over the preseason, playing in the guts. More like your Prudis role, just getting the ball, extracting it out to the runners there. 27 handballs was fantastic. Nathan Jones, side by side with Oliver there, in the guts, scored quite well as well with his 35 possessions. 126 Dream Team, 132 Supercoach. And I love Jesse Hogan. He is a gun. I'm all aboard it, Steve. I'm all aboard Jesse Hogan this year. He was fantastic. Up and down the ground, kicking goals. He was great.
Mate, I've got him in my teams. I've got him in our league of record and my keeper team. He's the man.
He is the man. He played really well, actually. For those Max Gorn who thought Jake Spencer was going to be that second ruckman, we ain't going to see that. He also scored quite well. Moving on to the Hawks this week, Tommy Mitchell.
Oh. Sorry, but just quickly, are you worried about Jack Viney at all?
Yeah, I mentioned this on the pod a week or two ago. I was just, after that fourth JLT, just worried he's playing a bit role in that midfield. He's like that third or fourth midfield, especially with Lewis in there now. He doesn't seem to be the it guy in that midfield.
I think we all knew that, you know, Jones will have a bit and Lewis will probably get a bit. But, man, Clayton Oliver, we couldn't have predicted that he was going to just blow up like this, surely.
No, I thought Oliver's at least a year or two away, but I'm worried about Jack Viney. Unless he can get a DPP or something, then I don't want any bar of him and I'd be trading him in a couple of weeks. For the Hawks, not a great effort for them. Tommy Mitch did what Tommy Mitch did, as we predicted. Just went full ham, racking up close to 40 possessions there. As Steve said before about late ruckman, big boy McAvoy was quite solid against the Bombers, racking up 106 Supercoach, 84 Dream Team with 27 hitouts. Be interesting to see how he does go up against the bigger ruckman in your Sanderlands, Mumford and whatnot, to see if he can match it. We did see it at St Kilda, but I'd be interested to see how he goes now he's a bit older. And Isaac Smith, I thought, was fantastic playing on the wing, doing what Isaac Smith does. And last but not least, the Adelaide Crows. Rory Laird was absolutely huge, going 142 Dream Team, 147 Supercoach, running off the back line there, pushing through the mid. My boy, Rory Atkins, get on him. Absolutely loved it, kicking the ball inside 50 and kicking a few goals himself. And I had Charlie Cameron as well. Again, just really solid, playing through the mid and kicking up a couple of snags himself.
About Sloan, how did you see Sloan today?
I think cautious. He was very cautious, I thought, just looking after that fractured eye socket, but he'll get better as the year goes on. I mean, it's Rory Sloan, he's a gun.
Yeah, I was just wondering if maybe he's another one of these candidates. I know you can still do all the running and that, but he hasn't been in any matches. Maybe he's just another one of these trade targets in a few weeks.
Quite possibly, but just a wait and see for him. That just about wraps up the show for this week. If you do want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors or at Statesman33. Check us out on Facebook. Just search The Draft Doctors there. And check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. Thanks for listening, everyone. Please do subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. And we will see you on Thursday before the game drops in.
Yep.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.